From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Low-income residents facing foreclosure on their homes have the next 2 weeks to apply for a federal loan program that could help stave off foreclosure. Loans up to $50,000 will be awarded through the Emergency Homeowner Loan Program. People in southwest Wisconsin can apply for the loan through Consumer Credit Counseling Services, or CooliCap. I sat down with Certified Credit and Housing Counselor Kim Wogan and Office Administrator Jenny Morris of Consumer Credit Counseling Services and CooliCap Community Development Director Todd Mandel to talk about the Emergency Homeowner Loan Program.
The Emergency Homeowner Loan Program is a set of funds available to homeowners facing foreclosure that are in that situation because they had some type of temporary reduction in their income. So they may have lost their job, they may have lost hours. Any reduction in income that equals 15% or greater of what they were making makes them potentially eligible for the Emergency Homeowner Loan Program. The funds were set aside by the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform Bill, and there's $1 billion available nationwide, $51 million available here in Wisconsin to help distressed homeowners.
And Kim, each person who receives a loan, if they do receive a loan, could receive up to $50,000. How do they decide how much each person gets?
It all depends on the income and what they can contribute. And they are requesting that each homeowner be able to contribute 31% and be able to cash flow after making that house payment. So, and that will, whatever is remaining in the loan payment, the EHLP will contribute up to 2 years, not to exceed $50,000.
So could you give like a real world example of how that could work for some random homeowner?
So if you had a household, say, making $50,000 a year and husband and wife together making $50,000 a year, one of them got laid off, and so now they make $30,000 a year. So they make whatever that is, percentage less, roughly 20-25% less income. That theoretically makes them eligible if they're 90 days delinquent on their mortgage. Then what would happen is there'd be an analysis done of that new, so they make $30,000 a year now. I should have picked easy numbers, but so that's roughly $2,500 a month in income. So the expectation is that they'd be able to put at least roughly $800-$850 towards their mortgage. But let's say they have a $1,500 a month mortgage. ELP would fill that difference. So ELP would pick up $700 a month, and then that would go on for 2 years. So at the end of that 2 years, you're talking about roughly $15,000 of debt that would get converted into the grant that gets forgiven over 5 years, or yeah, forgiven over 5 years, plus whatever it takes to get them current. Mm-hmm. So if they've missed 8 payments at $1,500 a piece, plus legal fees, plus collection fees, plus taxes and insurance, you might be looking at, you know, maybe $12,000 in arrears that they have to get caught up. So this money would be able to pay that, plus going forward 2 years, as long as that whole total doesn't get above $50,000. I had talked to somebody today who was having their sheriff's auction July 12th, and in my head, I had to tell him, well, if you can get them to move that back to, say, mid-August in the hopes that the lottery has happened by then and you've been notified and we can get all this done by then, which would be a small miracle, then that would be great. But otherwise, there's nothing I can do for you because your sheriff's auction's before the deadline even happens.
So the role that both of your organizations play, CooliCap and Consumer Credit Counseling Services in La Crosse, you're going to help people apply for this program. I also should say that Neighborhood Housing Services in Richland Center is also helping people apply for the Emergency Homeowner Loan Program. People have till July 22nd to apply, which seems like pretty quick turnaround.
Well, it is. It goes really fast, so it's difficult to know all the information that we need to know to pass it along. There's new stuff. There's new questions that come up every day. The website is constantly updating, and we've just kind of been told to refer people to the website is where they're going to get the most up-to-date information.
And you all, Jenny and Kim, you just both went to Minneapolis to receive training.
Did you go to that also, Todd?
How was the training there in figuring out how to get your head around it?
Yeah, it was good. It helped out a lot. It helped answer a lot of questions that we had. just to figure out how this whole process is going to work.
Those who are interested in applying for the loan, they have to fill out this pre-applicant screening worksheet. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the process going into that, Todd, maybe?
Sure, and I would add, too, I mean, one of the challenges for us counseling agencies moving forward is, I know at least for us, we found out the Monday that they released, June 20th, when HUD released the press release that the Emergency Homeowner Loan Program was eligible and open for business, was also the same day they let us know that, by the way, you're an ELP agency. So congratulations and good luck with that. So that's added a whole new spin. I actually found out we were an agency by doing a search in the link in the press release to say, hey, I wonder who in the Cooley region you can call for help. Apparently it's me, actually. So that's great to know.
Yeah.
But now I missed the question.
It's a pretty lengthy application to apply for the Emergency Homeowner Loan Program. I mean, they don't make it easy to receive $50,000.
Right, and it's really just step one of the application. So you fill out the pre-screen applicant form, and you need to fill out all the information. Because what's going to happen is when that comes into either Consumer Credit Counseling or Cooley Cap or both, and we really encourage you to apply to both agencies because we each have separate allocations that you can qualify for. We have to do an initial review of that application and based on the information the homeowner provides, see if they meet the minimum qualifications to be in the program. Now, with that said, there's no verification necessarily that occurs in this first phase, but it doesn't really pay to not put in accurate information because eventually we're going to have to verify that information. And if so, let's say you didn't actually lose your job or you didn't actually have an income reduction. You just can't make your house payments, but you kind of fudge that income information on the form. Eventually, we're going to have to go document that. And you're supposed to provide documentation even with your application, but eventually that will get caught, and then you just won't be eligible for the program anyways, and you'll have used up a slot that could have gone to somebody who actually is eligible for the assistance. The rules that were created really come from the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Consumer Protection Act. So each individual agency, NHS, Consumer Credit Counseling, ourselves, we don't get to change those rules. We don't. I've had many conversations with folks who didn't lose their jobs. They just are in really bad mortgages, and I want to help them. But this program can't do that, and I don't get to make the decision to change that.
Kim, what would you say to someone who could probably use this program, but maybe doesn't want to go through the process of putting together the application?
I would say fill out the application.
It's worth the time.
It's worth it. It's worth it. What have you got to lose? One thing that we're requesting when people come through our agency is filling out the pre-application screening worksheet for the ELP program, but also we'll give them one of our applications because if they don't qualify or they don't make the lottery, maybe there's something our agency can do to help them. So reach out.
Yeah, don't not out of luck just because, or out of options because this specific program. There's a lot of other things that both of our agencies can do for the people, other options that they have in saving their house.
One of the reasons Cooley Cap applied to be an ELP agency, we've been doing foreclosure counseling for nearly 5 years now. And we've seen a lot of foreclosure plans and programs come and go, created by predominantly created by the federal government. And a couple of them we've just let go past because we looked at them and just didn't feel there was really any value, and that they really would just be more frustrating and offering false hope to homeowners who are already filled with enough dread and stress. They didn't need another program that's not really going to help them. But we looked at this one and said, this is real money. This is real money that can really help. It's the first real investment by the federal government in homeowners. The federal government's made many contributions and investments into the lenders that created the bad loans, but it's the first time they've decided to do that by going through the homeowners. And it's really what a lot of housing agencies have been advocating for years now, is that if you want to do this, then let's get the money down to the level of the people who are losing their houses.
And you're listening to Newsmakers. My guests today are Todd Mandel. He is the Community Development Director with Cooley Cap. And also we have Kim Wogan and Jenny Morris with the Consumer Credit Counseling Services. I'm wondering if you could talk about how people will manage the money once they are, if they do go through everything and the money is loaned to them. Are you all involved in the process of managing it, or?
No, and neither is the homeowner. The payment is made from ELP right to the lender. So that's what makes it really a nice, easy program for everybody involved.
And once again, that each person could receive up to $50,000. I'm wondering if you could actually just talk about the lottery that goes into it.
In essence, each counseling agency, so Consumer Credit Counseling Services, Cooley Cap, NHS, of Richland Center, have some number of slots available to them per county that they've been assigned by HUD through ELP. I don't know if you guys know your numbers yet. Yeah, we don't know our numbers yet either. Okay. We think our numbers are around 200 or 250, but we don't know. Nobody really knows. I know, for example, I was just talking to a counseling agency up in up north somewhere, and they happen to find out they have 92 slots. They're not actually an ELP agency. They have just have 92 slots assigned to their county. So somehow those 92 slots have been divided up amongst some counseling agencies that are at this point unknown. But let's say La Crosse County has 300 slots assigned to it all totaled. If we get 400 applications for assistance, what will happen is HUD at the federal level in Washington at some point will do a lottery, some point after July 22nd, is going to look at all the applicants versus the available number of slots. And then if there's more applications than slots, they'll do a lottery. And those folks that are selected through the lottery process will be eligible for ELP assistance. And those folks who aren't won't be. There's not really any rhyme or reason to the lottery. There's no, you know, there's no way to get preference in the lottery. It's just a straight up, if you're eligible for assistance and you get picked, you get picked. And if you don't, then you don't.
So it's a lottery with a number of slots, and it's not a chunk of money that's allotted to an area?
We submit the applications. The applications are, and those that are eligible, then they're shuffled. And La Crosse, you get 100 slots. So here's the 100 names that showed up in the shuffle. Now, should we find out, like Todd said, down the road that someone, their application was not totally correct, and so we verified information that wasn't correct, they fall off and someone moves up into that slot. So there can be a waiting. You know, you might just be that 101 that could possibly still get in.
And the way HUD's figured out the numbers is basically HUD's working off an estimate that it'll cost $35,000 per homeowner to help. So what they have lots of math people. So they took that $51 million, and each county has a formula that I've never seen. I'm sure it's fairly long and complex. But that looks at number of foreclosures and number of houses that are 90-day delinquent and number of pending foreclosures and this and that and all these other things, poverty rates, unemployment rates. And based on that, they say, okay, La Crosse County, you get $3.5 million of the $51 million for Wisconsin. They then take that $3.5 million, divide it by 35,000, that gets you to X number, in this case would be 100, of available slots for help. Now, what happens if all 100 La Crosse cases end up at 40,000? I don't know.
Sure.
I'm assuming HUD's figuring out somewhere somebody else is going to come up under and they're just going to make it all work out in the wash at the end. I'm not 100% sure. But these are the kind of like very programmatic details we all wish somebody would tell us.
Or maybe not.
Or maybe not, right.
Not every state is involved in the Emergency Homeowner Loan Program. Why is it that Wisconsin was chosen as a state to be involved in this?
Well, there was the hardest hit, and I didn't bring the list, but there were some states that were already...
They were in the hardest hit, and we were not. So this is a supplemental program, I think, to the hardest hit, because we didn't get involved in that, so...
Yeah, the U.S. Treasury has what's called the Hardest Hit Fund, and that fund is $6 or $7 billion directed towards the 100 worst metropolitan statistical areas in the country, of which Milwaukee is actually one of them. So Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Metropolitan Statistical Area is not eligible for this $51 million that's assigned to the state of Wisconsin. So when you think about it, $51 million is an awful lot of money for all of Wisconsin, not including Milwaukee.
Milwaukee County.
And Wisconsin, actually, if I remember right, got the sixth largest allocation of ELP funds. Which again just really goes back to this very complex math formula that HUD looks at lots of different statistics and says when you look at all of it, Wisconsin's got a big foreclosure problem, so they need a lot of money.
And is this something, I mean, you know, the state nationally, funding's not coming by easy for anyone. Is this something that the country can afford right now, a program like this?
Oh, I don't want to answer that one.
Wow. Well, that's a great question. You know, one of the reasons that we haven't as a nation, and this is somewhat opinion, but I think somewhat fact, one of the reasons we haven't as a nation tackled the foreclosure crisis in just this way, which is taking direct money, taxpayer money, and giving it to homeowners to pay their mortgage, is what something was referred to in the mortgage industry as the moral hazard argument, which is if we just start paying the mortgage for people, then what's the incentive for the rest of us to pay our mortgage? Which is still, I mean, there's still somewhat of a valid argument in there. However, at some point, you know, the foreclosure crisis has gotten to the point where something has to be done. Particularly if you look at that Treasury hardest hit fund, and if you look at the worst MSA, the worst metropolitan statistical area is Miami-Dade in Florida, there one in five houses is in foreclosure. And it's, if you know anything about Miami-Dade, it's not that you can walk down the block and it's one in five. There are pockets of abject poverty in Miami where it's really 8 out of 10 houses in a block are in foreclosure. And what do you do? I mean, what do you do when 8 in 10 houses are abandoned? And who's going to buy those? And who's, I mean, it's, you, something has to happen. So I think to some degree it's the federal government saying, okay, we tried all these non-moral hazard arguments. We tried investing in the banks. We tried foreclosure counseling. And, you know, I think you guys might agree from our side of being a foreclosure counselor, it's like, it's a great program. It's nice to be able to try to help people mitigate and come to a soft landing. But at the end of the day, the problem is they don't have money.
Right.
And they don't have a promise of more money, and they need a lot of it. I remember when this whole foreclosure thing was starting years ago, we put an application into a local funder for money to help with foreclosure counseling. And the answer we got was, this like seems like a very expensive solution. And my response was, it's a very expensive problem.
So how big of a problem is foreclosure in southwest Wisconsin, in the La Crosse area?
I want to say there's 80 foreclosures a month that go through the court system.
In La Crosse County?
In La Crosse County.
Wow. Right now there's over 100, I think, pending in the court system in La Crosse.
And how, the surrounding counties aren't much better. Monroe is one of the highest per capita foreclosure rates. I know when a different federal program came along, the Neighborhood Stabilization Program, the third round of that money, one of the only census tracts that was eligible for that money was the east side of Sparta, where I happen to live, because of the high level of foreclosures and abandoned properties. I mean, it's a very small census tract, but that and a little section in Prairie du Chien were the only places this money could be used because they were in such distress.
Both of your agencies serve many different functions, but people coming in because they could be foreclosed upon, I mean, is that something that you deal with on a daily basis?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And like I said earlier, excluding this home loan program, there are other options that we can do. At Consumer Credit Counseling, we do home loan modifications, so there's definitely other options that we have for the client.
We've probably been averaging 30 to 40 intakes a month into our foreclosure program. And until recently, some more funding came available. We'd actually had to scale back to really where we could have, I mean, what we had funding to help was 2. So we're hoping this will help us make a dent.
And then what happens generally after the people come in and say, my house is about to be foreclosed upon, and if the house is foreclosed upon, what happens to many of the people in this area?
Well, it's definitely a lifestyle change, and that's kind of one of the biggest problems I think that people don't look at is that you need to change your lifestyle. I don't know. There's there's obviously emergency situations for everything, situations that people can't control. But I think a lot of it is living within our means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no good answer. You know, at least I think for our agency, I think probably for most agencies, 2 years ago, we were seeing folks, 2.5, 3 years ago, we were seeing folks walk in the door who just had really bad loans and mortgages. They, mm-hmm. whatever, they should have never bought that house, or nobody should have ever given them that big a mortgage. Or my personal favorite was they figured out the mortgage, but whoever sold them the house didn't tell them how much the taxes were going to be. So when you add that on top of the, it's like, they're like, oh yeah, I can do $100 a month. Not a problem. Well, when you put the $350 tax bill on it, it's a whole different equation. Mm-hmm. And those you could start to work with, at least. You go back to the banks, you could ask them to modify the terms, you could do principal reductions. There are things you can do. The last 2 years have started to predominantly be folks who, they just don't have income. They've lost both mm-hmm. jobs, they've lost one job, they lost both jobs, got a job back, but it makes half of what they did before. They still have all those other fixed costs, 3 kids, bills, cars, whatever. And where do you go with that? If you have a $1,200 a month house payment and you make $1,300 less a month now than you did before, there's nowhere in that budget to go. And so,
And this is where ALP will really come in and help those people.
Right.
The unemployed, underemployed, people dealing with serious illnesses, and the health care costs. I mean, this is what's going to help them. What's going to really determine the success in the end is if we start to see more jobs and we see this health care and the costs under control, because this is temporary. And so what's going to be after this? You know, because the house payment is going to come back. So we really need to see some changes in our economy.
And it's important that they're able to make those payments when the payments do go back up, or they will be responsible then for part of this $50,000, as opposed to it just disappearing. If they can't continue to make the payments, then they're also going to become liable for payments on this too.
Kim Wogan and Jenny Morris are with Consumer Credit Counseling Services, and Todd Mandel is with Cooley Cap. They've been talking about the Emergency Homeowner Loan Program, in which low-income residents facing foreclosure on their home can apply to be in a lottery to receive up to $50,000 to prevent losing their home. Agencies like Consumer Credit Counseling Services and Cooley Cap are accepting applications for another 2 weeks, but cannot counsel people on the process. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. Our production team includes Steve Roysom, Mary Meehan Stroob, John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau, as well as network news from Wisconsin Public Radio and NPR. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse.